Grace be to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to study the biblical book of Daniel, lesson 3. From mystery to revelation. The immanence of God. God is close to us, very close. Do we know this? In the book of Daniel, chapter 2, we get acquainted with a king who was the star of his time. He had got whatever he wanted. All the countries in the neighborhood he got into his possession. Egyptians, Lydians, wherever. And he got all the riches of these kingdoms to Babylon. And Babylon became a wonderful capital. Buildings, palaces, endless. But time goes on and goes on. 1 year passes and the next year. And then you discover that your body will not remain forever. Whenever someone came into the throne room, the first sentence he had to say in front of the king may live forever. He may live forever. Will he live forever? Of course not. People on earth do not live forever. Even if they want to, and even if they are kings, and if they are powerful, and if they are whatever. It's useless. They will die one day, notwithstanding their power. Now, when the king is on his bed, his mind goes on working. What will be in the future? Will my son, my grandson, the son of my grandson, will they be able to do the same what I have done? Will they be able to consolidate what I have got? Or will it disappear? And with this intention in mind, he goes to bed. What will be in future? Will the Babylonian kingdom exist forever, or will it just pass away as all the others before? And then he sleeps. And when he's asleep, he has a dream, a vision, sent by God. And in this vision, he gets an idea. And he's shocked about this vision. And the next morning he gathers together the best of his people. All the wise men, those who are able to explain dreams. And then when they are together, he says, I had a dream. I want to know what's the meaning of this dream. And they answer, okay. The king will tell us the dream, and then we will tell him the meaning of the dream. But this time there's something different. It's so important for the king to know what it means that he says, listen, you, and that's your first task, you tell me what I have dreamt. And And then I know that you will explain the correct meaning of the dream. They look at him, and then they repeat the first sentence. The king may tell us the dream, and we will explain him the meaning. And his answer, I know, you want to gain time, but my message is clear. You tell me the dream first. And if you are able to do that, you will be honored by me, you will get riches, and so on and so on. But if not, you will be killed, you all together, you're good for nothing. Ooh, now they are shocked. And they explain to the king, well, never before has any king asked anything like that. It's impossible. How can we know what you have dreamt? Nobody knows what you have dreamt, only the gods. But they are not here. We can't get the information from them. So, tell us the dream, and we will tell you the meaning. And the king became furious, and he sent them away. And they had only a short time to live, or to explain and to tell him. Daniel and his friends, Daniel was now 21 years old. It happened 3 years after his coming to Babylonia, training of 3 years, studying at the university. He was now a servant of the king. And just at the beginning of this service, he, the king, had this dream. 21 years, and he gets the information. Are you ready to die? There's only one chance. You know the dream. So, Daniel and his friends started praying as they had never prayed before. The prayer. Daniel and his friends, then you. If we do not know, and if this dream of the king is not revealed to us, we will be dead in a jiffy. So they prayed, O God. You know what Nebuchadnezzar dreamt. You know it. And we would like to know this, what he dreamt. And we would like to know the meaning. If you're willing to reveal it to us, we are ready. And then, Daniel is a person who gets an information with which is so astonishing. We read in chapter 2, verse 17, then Daniel went to his house and made this thing known to his colleagues, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon, because they belonged now to this group of wise men, and therefore death would come to them as well. So they pray as they have never prayed before. Verse 19 in chapter 2 of the book of Daniel. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Can you imagine that? So for God it was easy. He had sent a dream to the king, and now he sends the dream to Daniel. For God, no problem. But people here on earth, they are helpless. They're without power in this area. It's something high, high above them. It's a revelation of a secret, of a mystery. And Daniel, before he prayed as he had never prayed before, and afterwards he prays as he had never prayed before because of thankfulness. We read, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." Wisdom and might. This is the summary for God, His definition. Wisdom and might are His. And He changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He gives the wisdom. It's not Daniel himself. He gets it. He reveals the deep and secret things. He knows what is in the darkness. And the light dwells with him. I thank you and praise you, O you God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might. And you have made known unto me now what we desired of you. For you have now made known unto us the king's matter. What a chapter. What a story. A dream. Again sent to another person. The same dream. And Daniel gets the information about the meaning as well. Two elements at the same time. What will go on now? The image, part one. Now Daniel went to the leader, this person who had the task to kill all the wise men of Babylon. And Daniel steps up to him and says to him, "It's no need killing. I know the dream and I know the meaning. Please lead me to the king." Can you see the face of this person? There's someone who says, "I know the dream and I know the meaning." So normally you can only laugh about it, can't you? But here, this person, Ayuk, he knows Daniel. He knows that he's a wise man coming from Judah. He has got informations nobody else in Babylon has got these informations. And this Ayuk, entered the king's presence and said, "I have found a man who is able to tell you the dream and the meaning." He said, "I have found someone," although Daniel stepped up to him and said, "Lead me to the king." Now when the king was confronted with Daniel, he had a question. And said to him in verse 26 in chapter 2, "Are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" Are you able? So Daniel is asked again. The king can't believe it. Are you able to tell me the dream I have dreamt? Not just any dream you have dreamt. The dream I have dreamt as the king. Have you dreamt that? And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king had demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king?" They cannot. "But there is a God in heaven that reveals secrets." A God in heaven. And that's the point. Because of this God in heaven, you will get the information. He told me your dream. And he goes on, "You, O king, your thoughts came into your mind on your bed, what should come to pass hereafter. And he that reveals secret makes known to you what shall come to pass." God wants to inform you about the future. And then Daniel tells him, "You, in your dream, what could you see?" Death. The artist Maximilian Janče from Austria, in Europe, he arranged colors in this way. It was a terrible picture. Therefore, you can see these eyes. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't a soft person. He was a strong king, very talented. He had won everything he wanted to win. All the surrounding areas and all the riches of the surrounding areas. And now he saw this image with his head of gold, silver, bronze, iron and clay in the feet. Now what should that mean? Part 2 of the image. When Daniel told the king the dream, the king on his throne was concentrated on every word of Daniel. Yeah, on every syllable, every sound could come to his ear. He was so interested. And when Daniel told him about this image, the king knew, yeah, it's the same dream. He dreamt the same dream as I had. Now he was interested in the meaning. And Daniel told him, "You, Nebuchadnezzar, you're the king of Babylon. You are the head of gold." And I show now the area of the Babylonian kingdom over there. This is gold. And the shock, the first shock, the Babylonian kingdom will not exist forever. Of course not. It will be smashed to pieces. But the next kingdom, the Persians and the Medes, they will unite and conquer Babylon. And what's green here, this will be the Persian kingdom. The Persians, they were already here. And they added the Babylonian kingdom to theirs, so it became twice as big as before. Silver. Pressed. But this kingdom will not exist forever as well. The Greeks will come over. This is the dark green area over there. And Alexander the Great, he will take over the whole of the green Persian kingdom. And he conquered the country till the Indus, the border to India. And Alexander wanted to go on. But his troops, they did not want to go on. They made it clear to their leader, it's senseless. We continue and continue, and we take land into our possession, but if we move on and move on, we will lose the rest that we have already won, because we move on and move on and move on. We must try to stay what we have won. So they went back, and Alexander died in young years. He had drunk too much alcohol, too much parties, too many parties. So this kingdom of the Greeks, it was taken over by the Romans in the end. And the Romans, they had their capital in the west, in the western part of Europe. So therefore, their area is transformed to Spain and Portugal in the west. So the whole kingdom moves more to the western area in Europe. Here it is concentrated on Asia. Now we have a connection of Asia and Europe, the Near East, Middle East. But the most important point, even this area, this kingdom, will collapse. Because a stone comes out of the middle of nowhere, and it's just there and smashes everything. But this stone will become a big mountain, and it will stay forever. What does that mean? The stone. When we have a look at the kingdoms on this planet, and have a look at the history of these kingdoms, and I'm interested in this as a teacher of history, then we find out the area of land on this planet, it's all is the same. Only the borders, they move from one side to the other and back again to and fro, and that's all. In the end, it's always the same land, but different kings, different areas which belong to a state, that's all. But in the end, there will come this stone and will smash all these states. And there will only be one single kingdom on the whole planet. And this kingdom will stay forever. Forever and ever And this stone means the coming back of Jesus on this earth. The second advent. First time he came to die, but the next time he comes to reign as the king of the universe. And when he comes to reign here, such an area is a tiny aspect of this planet. He will be the ruler of the whole planet, and is forever. And the inhabitants will be different, because the new ruler will allow only a special group of people to live on this planet. And this group will be allowed to live there forever. So they have to pass a test. And this test is an interesting one. To be one of the elect with Jesus on the new earth means you have to know him. You have to be in a close relationship with him. You have to love him. No, not you have to. You want to love him. You want to have a close relationship with him. You want to be in the immanence of him. It's something made of love. So only those whose motivation is love towards Jesus, they will be there. They love him, and therefore they obey him. Voluntarily, nobody forces them. They are volunteers, out of love. When two persons marry, a man and a woman, and they become husband and wife, normally it's their will, not forced. And therefore they ask, do you want to? Are you willing to marry this partner, this person here? They are asked in front of the audience. People want to hear, is it your free will? And the same it is with Jesus. Is it your free will? You're not forced to. It's his love. You can answer for it. Because you are loved by him. He was willing to die on the cross for you. Therefore, you can show your thankfulness and say, oh, thank you. Please forgive me all my wrong decisions, what I've said in a wrong way, what I have done in a wrong way. And he will forgive it. He paid for that with his blood on the cross. And you will receive peace because your sins are forgiven. How precious. How precious is this experience? Your sins forgiven. You can start new. New. The past, no problem. Forgiven. People who experience this, they will be there on the new earth, in close, loving relationship with Jesus, willing to obey him, whatever he wants. Summary. This king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, he was so interested in the future. He had got everything what he wanted, but he did not know the future. And this was the only point And God revealed the secret to him. And he made it known to Daniel so that the king got the impression, there is a God in heaven who knows the future. And there is a God in heaven who knows everything. And he has the power above all kings. Because in the end of Daniel 2, that the king fell upon his face, we read in chapter 46. And he worshipped Daniel. Imagine, he's the slave, having been taken captive from Jerusalem to Babylon. And the king fell upon his face in front of Daniel. And he commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him. And what has the king discovered? Of a truth it is, that your God is a God of gods. First, he's a God of gods and a Lord of kings. He is my king, the king, says here. He's a revealer of secrets. Seeing you could reveal this secret. The king made Daniel a great man and gave him many great gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he said to the colleagues of Daniel over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Daniel, he was in the gate of the king. He became the ruler, chancellor. What a story. So in the beginning of the book, we see the people of God conquered, taken as captives to Babylon. So that's the end of the people of God, isn't it? And now, the one king who had been victorious over the Jews, he looks up to the God of Israel, of Judah, and he is the one to say, he's the God of gods. He's the Lord of the kings. He is the real God. He's above all the Babylonian gods. He's above all kings. He's the king of kings, and in the end he will be the king of this planet. Because he's the king of the universe. So this planet is just a tiny point in the universe. It's just a spot. Nearly nothing, like a full stop in the universe. And on this we are. On this planet. So how tiny are we? But the God of the universe is interested in you to lift you up and that you can live on this planet forever and ever. This is our God. How our God. How great you are.